ਚਾਰ ਮਾਰ ਬਖੁੰਜਾ ਬਿਹਾਰੀ ਗੋਪੀ ਜਨਾ ਬਾਲੋਗ ਗਿਰਵਰ ਧਾਰੀ ಯಶೋದಾ ಭಜ ಜಾನ ರಂಜನ ಜಮುನ ತೀರವನ್ನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಮುನ ತೀರವನ್ನ ಚಾರಿ ಚಾಹೆ ರಕ್ತ ಮಾರಬ್ಬ ಕುಂಜಾ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ಬಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರ್ವರ ಧಾರಿ ಹೇ ಯಶೋರನ ನನ್ನ ರಾಜ ಚಾರವಾಂಗನ್ನ ಯಶೋರನ ನನ್ನ ಪ್ರಜ ಚಾರವಾಂಗನ್ನ ಯಮುನ ತೀರವನ್ನ ಚಾರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಬಲ್ಲರಾಮ ಜಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಬಲ್ಲರಾಮ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಸುಂದರ ರಾಧಾ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಸುಂದರ ಜಯ ರಾಧೇ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಜಯ ರಾಧೇ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಜಯ ರಾಧೇ ಜಯ ರಾಧೇ ಜಯ ರಾಧೇ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಜಯ ಗೌರ ಹರಿ 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 ನಿತ್ಯ ಹರಿ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಥಾಪೂ ಪಬೂ ಪಬೂ ಜಯ ಶಿಲ ಪಬೂ ಪ ಶಿಶಿರಾಧ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪನಾ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಕುಮಾರ ಗೋಪನಾ ಕೀ ಜಯ ವೃಂದಾವನ ರಾಮ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಮಿಥುರ ರಾಮ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಜಮುನ ಮಾಯ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಗಂಗ ಮಾಯ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಪಾರ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀಮತಿ ತುಳಸಿ ಮಹಾರಾಣಿ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಸತ್ಸಂಗ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಆ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಸಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಗೋಡೀಸ್ ಆ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಸಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಗೋಡೀಸ್ ಆ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಸಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಗೋಡೀಸ್ worship him. She go. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 6, the conversation between Narada and Vyasadeva, text 36. Read the translation first. Sarvam all, tat that, idam this, akyatam described, yet whatever. Prishtaha asked by, aham me, twaya by you, anagaha without any sins. Janma, birth, karma, activities, rahasyam, mysteries, me, mine, bhavataha, your, cha and, atma self, toshanam, satisfaction. Sarvam tadidam akhyatam.
Sarvam tadidam akhyatam.
Yat prishtoham twayanagaha. Janma karma rahasyam me.
Janma karma rahasyam me.
Bhavatas chatma toshanam.
Bhavatas chatma toshanam.
Sarvam tadidam akhyatam.
Sarvam tadidam akhyatam.
Yat prishtoham twaya nagaha.
Yat prishtoham twaya nagaha.
Janma karma rahasyam me. Bhavatas chatma toshanam.
Bhavatas chatma toshanam. Sarvam tadidam akhyatam.
Sarvam tadidam akhyatam.
Japrishtoham payanaga.
Japrishtoham payanaga.
Janma karma rahasyam me.
Janma karma rahasyam me. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. O Vyasadeva, you are free from all sins. Thus I've explained my birth and activities for self-realization, as you asked. All this will be conducive for your personal satisfaction also. Purport. The process of devotional activities from the beginning to the stage of transcendence is all duly explained to satisfy the inquiries of Vyasadeva. He has explained how the seeds of devotional service were sown by transcendental association and how they gradually developed by hearing the sages. The result of such hearing is detachment from worldliness, so much so that even a small boy could receive the deaf news of the mother, who was his only caretaker, as the blessing of God. And at once he took the opportunity to search out the Lord. A sincere urge for having an interview with the Lord was also granted to him, although it is not possible for anyone to see the Lord with mundane eyes. He also explained how by execution of pure transcendental service, one can get rid of the fruit of action of accumulated work, and how he transformed his material body into a spiritual one. The spiritual body is alone able to enter into the spiritual realm of the Lord, and no one but a pure devotee is eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. All the mysteries of transcendental realization are duly experienced by Narada Muni himself, and therefore by hearing such an authority, one can have some idea of the results of devotional life, which are hardly delineated even in the original text of the Vedas. In the Vedas and Upanishads, there are only indirect hints to all this. Nothing is directly explained there, and therefore Srimad Bhagavatam is a mature fruit of all the Vedic trees of literatures. So Narada Muni, our eternal spaceman, is about ready to take off again after a successful mission of speaking with Vyasadeva all about his life and how he became self-realized and transferred himself to the spiritual body and how he got that wonderful interview with the Supreme Lord. And this was all very helpful to Vyasadeva, who was curious about this and who, of course, will use it in his own self-realization and in giving this message to others. So Narada Muni is a perfect example of a sannyasi. He's finished a nice mission of preaching, and he's going to be right off again, right to another preaching mission, and satisfying to both the hearer, Vyasadeva, and to himself. And why is it so satisfying? Because it's about Krishna. We have so much knowledge, but it's all saturated with Krishna Katha. And therefore, it's very satisfying. We can hear it again and again and again. I was listening to a lecture, and Prabhupada was saying, what satisfaction do the impersonalists have? I mean, they have so much knowledge, true, but can you imagine going to retreat and just hearing about the white light? How boring. You know, what can you say? I mean, how enlightening can it be? I mean, a light, you know? Just emerge and not know anything about anything. Anyway, it's no satisfaction there. So therefore, they have to keep just juggling all their words around. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that a real guru is one who is preaching to devotees and non-devotees all the time, 24/7. And that here we see that Narada Muni is actually doing this service. Bhaktisiddhanta was asked one time of the relationship of the guru and disciple. He says that they're not serving me, actually I'm serving them. And I put so much out in that effort of serving them. So we see here Narada Muni is doing that service. And the sannyasis and the preachers, it's a service. And I humbly respect all those people that take disciples and do that service. It's overwhelming how they can do it. I have no idea. But anyway, we should also try to take example of Narada Muni's preaching force, his power, and his determination to go constantly telling the glories of Krishna, which is satisfying to everyone. And so there, he's zooming all over the world just with the flick of his fingers on his veena. But now we can see that actually devotees are taking those examples. By the flick of their fingers, zoom. They're zooming all over, right? They use this zoom thing. I haven't used it yet, but they're zooming to, I know, Ruchira and Adikarta every day are on some zoom thing, to Brazil, to South America, to Bulgaria, to all over the world. You see, now we can just open up our computers and we've got lines of people on these Zooms that just preach and preach and preach. There's no stopping this power of the holy name and of this philosophy. And so somehow or other Krishna's arranged for that same ability that Narada has. We can Zoom all over the world and continue preaching. So it's really, really wonderful to the best use of that technology, if you ask me. So this Bhagavat Purana, Is described as the cream of the Vedas, as the ripened fruit. Here's described as the mature fruit of all the Vedic trees. So this is something that has been given to us in a very authorized manner. And therefore, we should consider, are we actually eligible to hear this? For many, many years, I think up until like even Madhavendra Puri, Lord Chaitanya, Radha and Krishna discussions and topics were not so public as they are now. I mean, we're giving this Bhagavat Purana at the airports. I remember the 6th, 7th canto, 5th canto, we were giving these books out at the airport to who knows who. I mean, what qualifications do they have? In Lord Chaitanya, he would only really discuss these pastimes in private with his most very intimate disciples. But here we had Prabhupada coming to the West, and he was just so anxious, like we heard, he's so anxious to print these books, to give us this knowledge on the back wall. So many hours of work that Prabhupada spent. It was his life work to translate Srimad Bhagavatam. But are we really ready for it? Are we, you know, ready to receive such exalted topics? Even Jesus said that, I have so much to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. It wasn't time. But for some reason, by the grace of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada was sent here and is giving this knowledge. Why? To melt our hearts and to open them up and become warmed up to this highest knowledge. And he did in such a wonderful way. These books are so philosophical and scientific. But they're also very, very, very tasty. And gradually, as we get a taste for hearing these topics, we'll become more and more attached to this, just hearing this knowledge. We get an increased appetite. I want to know more about Krishna, more about Krishna. So he did a wonderful service of coming here and helping us to begin purify our intelligence and to have a little bit of understanding of the Supreme Lord. And so we should have great appreciation for this service that Srila Prabhupada did of bringing this knowledge to us, even though we definitely were not qualified. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, he expressed some real desires about these books, especially the Bhagavatam. He wanted them in everyone's home. He wanted a set of Bhagavatams in every person's home in the West, all over the world. So that's something that I guess we're still working on. But he also wanted these books in the colleges. I was hoping Shesha was here to tell us a little bit about the results of that. I don't know if these books, I guess, are still in the libraries and the colleges. And I'm sure people are finding that they're so much better than any of the other so-called scholars that gave commentary on the Vedas. I know that they would buy a whole set even though it wasn't even produced. So I'm wondering if they actually went back and really gave them all those books. But Prabhupada was so pleased when he heard of this program, of the library party. Because these books, they fill in the black holes of the mystery, the mystery of self-realization, the mystery of Krishna. They fill them in with colorful descriptions of the spiritual world and descriptions of Krishna and his associates. And so, therefore, our eyes can feast on all this wonderful knowledge. And it's brilliant as the sun is described in Bhagavatam, that we're hearing more and more about the real truth about Krishna. And so it's our duty, what? It's our duty to actually study these books and to really know them. I'm not one to say that I study that much, but on a daily function I hear them and hopefully it'll settle in somewhere. But we have to become fixed on the understanding what's in these books. Prabhupada didn't want us just to distribute them, but he wanted us to know them. And all glories to those who know them page by page, sloka by sloka. Amazing. The other day, a lady came here from a campus up in Lake City. She has a world religion report. She was an older lady, She actually came here with her grandson, babysitting. And she had the typical questions, and she let me speak most of the time, but she was taking notes on the similarities of religions. And one other boy came here and said, well, this is all different than I thought it would be. And this lady was like, oh, yeah, this is nice. We were sitting in the temple room waiting for the 4 o'clock offering to have the curtains open. And so we were agreeable on a lot of points. She was a Christian lady. And then the curtains opened. And I said, oh, well, come see. And she's like, whoa, you know. Wow. They have no clue who God is. You know, they really don't have any clue that there's a form and a personality and there's beauty and there's actual direct service to the Supreme Lord. So she was quite impressed. And the little boy was like, what's this? He's only 3 years old. He was just like bright-eyed. What's going on? And so hopefully they have some better understanding of this very postgraduate study of God and everything to do with God. So we should be very indebted to Prabhupada that here we're sitting right in front of the Lord and able to do so much nice service. For us, you know, it's settled. This is God. This is Krishna. There's no question. There's no could be or maybe or perhaps. It's because we have all these literatures. That's why. Our search is ended. Every single question we have, we can find here in this one canto. In this one book, we can find every answer to every question you could ever ask. Why look any further? We found the best God. Actually, Papa said in one lecture, if you find someone more qualified, worship him. But where are we going to go? Who has looked any farther than this? I mean, I haven't. Luckily, we weren't so contaminated by other Eastern philosophies where actually Krishna is minimized, his position is minimized in many of the literatures there. So we had an advantage for that. We didn't know of all these other, like the list that was going through of the different philosophies that Nagaraj gave yesterday, which is like mix this, that, and this jnani, and this, you know, this karma, that karma. Luckily, we didn't know about all these things. We got the juice right away, and we were happy with it. I didn't have to look any further. So this is... okay, yeah, we were spared that, but we weren't spared our impersonal backgrounds. So for impersonalists, even many Christians are very impersonal, this is a heavy thing to take, that God is a person. But we, because we were, with our, you know, LSD realizations and our drug realizations, we came to the you know, absolute truth realization that we were actually God. But unfortunately, a week later, someone down the street realized they were God. And so how long can you claim that you're God? And so, okay, then everyone's God. And it got really pretty confusing. It didn't really work. The philosophy didn't really work. But we still sometimes have some impersonal philosophy still within us. So therefore, we have Bhagavat Purana. We have, you know, association with the person Bhagavat, and then this deity worship. To make it all very, very personal for us. So if you ask me, Krishna has everyone beat. And if you can't beat them, you join them. So why not just join and serve Krishna? In the media these days, they have some shows. They're called Meet the Challenge. I saw one little one on Facebook where they had Meet the Challenge for little kids. And they would put a big bowl of jelly beans in front of the little baby and say, okay, mom's going to be back in a few minutes. You just sit here. Don't touch these, though. Don't touch them. Okay, I'll be right back. Don't touch them. And so it showed the photos of what all the kids did during that time when the mother was gone for a long time. They would sometimes bring the bowl a little close and they would touch them. And sometimes they would just push it away. And so it was a challenge. And there's other challenge shows where you have to do a survival course and can you make it to the other side through this and that and all the things you go through, and you win a prize if you do. So, but our challenge is if we can get through this one lifetime just accepting the Bhagavatam. Nothing else. Just the books that are right there. If we can just do that challenge, not have to look any further, we can have perfection. So this is difficult, because sometimes we quince a little bit when we hear things in the Bhagavatam, like King Yudhisthira had, you know, 6 million servants. Okay, how do you fit 6 million servants inside of, you know, a house or a village, or that someone gave 1,000 golden decorated elephants to somebody, or that a Maharati can kill 1,000 people coming on them at one time? I mean, sometimes you go, whoa, my brain can't calculate this. You know, this is like, should I believe this or not? It's hard to swallow sometimes. But we don't waste time. We just swallow it. Yeah, Krishna can do anything. Anything can happen like this. So, yes, the challenge, accept everything in the Bhagavatam and not waste time. We don't have much time, so best that we just accept it. I mean, look at Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Prabhupada said he was the most intelligent philosopher at that time. And you see him, Bhaktisiddhanta, sitting next to some British scholar. You know, and the British scholar's like humbled like anything, with his mouth down, like hearing Bhaktisiddhanta speak on the Vedas, or any subject. He could speak on any subject in English with expertise, flooring everybody. No one could understand how intelligent he was. But he had no problem swallowing all this knowledge. He accepted every single thing. So what about us? We simply should hear it and take it to heart. And I know that sometimes on Sankirtan, people will challenge me, and they'll go, well, you know there's a new philosophy out. You know there's a new meditation process. You haven't heard that. You haven't read it. You're just simply closed-minded. You got your blinders on. You don't want to hear about this thing and that thing and a new age this and a new age that. No thanks. You can go there, but I'm not going there. Because we're satisfied. And Srila Prabhupada, he was so satisfied and so powerful in his belief of this subject that he took up challenges. What's the book of Dialectic Spiritualism, I think it's called, where Shyamasundara would go and come back with a certain philosopher or a learned scholar or something like that, and he would present that, and Prabhupada loved it. He said, oh, now, tell me what he says. And then he would give back. Well, this is right, but that's not right. And he just went through every single, you know, famous spiritualist and philosopher and theist and atheist, everything, and would defeat them. That's how wonderfully that Prabhupada understood this. And that's why he wanted to give us this, because it is so powerful. It's actually described that there's a descending process, hearing the knowledge from above, and an ascending process. And so we have our choices. But look at the descending process. First of all, you have to humble yourself. You realize that someone up there knows more than you. So that's a wonderful quality, that you're humble and you can accept it. And you've become very powerful because it has never been changed, and the potency has always been there. And we saw it in Srila Prabhupada. That's why we all joined, because we saw the potency of him using this knowledge to the greatest. So, but the speculation process of ascending. First of all, you become very proud, which is a minus point as far as self-realization is concerned. Because you have to make up something new. It has to be something different than anybody else. So you get very proud, and then you're using your imperfect senses, so therefore it's very weak. So it's actually the opposite. The descending process is so much better than the ascending process. So of course we choose that. But it's also our responsibility as receivers from something above to receive it properly. And that's sometimes difficult, especially if you have an impersonal background. So it's encouraged, of course, to have some little bit of faith and hearing. And of course, over time, the purity comes so that you can gather more information and receive the greatest of this mature fruit. So you can become mature also. But if we have a cluttered consciousness and a lot of doubts, then we don't get as much out of it. We just don't. We can read it forever and it just will not sink in. So best we clear our consciousness and no envy reading it, no offenses reading it. But I think we read the other morning somewhere in the class that because we weren't offensive, the West was able to accept it so easily. We have to keep that attitude, not think that, oh, now I know it all, and then become very envious or become offensive. So we have to remain very eager to hear it. Just like, I guess, Narottam Das Thakur says that we should become very eager to study the books of the Goswamis, because all this knowledge has been passed down, and the Goswamis, they made it so wonderful for us. It was such a wonderful service that they wrote all those books. And so we should try to assimilate as much as we can. Here it's described, I think, that to have a surge, where does it say? To have a surge of wanting that interview with Krishna. We want to be so eager to see Krishna that we will devote our lives to understanding this knowledge. And we should stick to it. I went door to door in High Springs one time. It was very Christian. It was really tough, having a hard day. You know, everyone was like Krishna. And then I came on, and there was a lady on the porch. And she goes, and I presented the books. And she goes, well, I'm Christian. I go, oh no, here we go again. But she goes, I really appreciate you. I really appreciate that you are coming by, that you're so determined in what you believe, that you are going there and giving this and explaining to people. Not that I accept it or that I want it, but I just appreciate you. And so I thought, well, that would help a lot to go to the next door. But it's because we're on a one-way ticket. The Goswamis directed us on a one-way ticket to Krishna. Gave us all facility to go there. So why stop off? Why stop off and get deterred? You know, go check out this philosophy, or go check out that new age thing. Or why not go see here this new guru, or this, or hear that, or whatever. Dangerous. Papa said, very dangerous. Lips of the serpent. So many things that can trickle in, and they can contaminate us. So we just stay on the boat. We just keep going forward. And Nityananda says the only price is your faith. So we have to keep that faith very, very strong. So I was thinking about this verse when I was in the kitchen the other day. So I'm going to give a little cooking class right now on cooking down milk. So if any of you ever done it, it takes some time to cook down milk. One time, it was Ruchira and I, we decided to make this very complicated feast in quantity. You make little rasgullas, and you drain them, and then you pack it with burfi all around, and you roll it in all these nuts and everything. So you bite through a burfi and you get to a rasgulla. And it ended up to be like a soccer ball. I mean, not a soccer ball, a baseball. And we made them. And together, it took us 48 hours to make this preparation. But it was, you know, people thought, oh, what is this, you know, and then they realized what it was. And it was appreciated. Never done it again. But we have to calculate, we're never asked to make a sweet, how many hours is it going to take? So in the same way, to process devotional service, to really get to the mature stage of relishing this, it's going to take time. So you got to be patient. That's one very important quality. And so, you're going to stand there for hours. You know, stand there for hours, and you're cooking down. What are you doing? You're trying to evaporate what you don't want. All the way and all the water, you're trying to evaporate. So you're constantly stirring it, constantly. Otherwise, it could burn. And so this is what we're doing in devotional service, constantly serving Krishna. And then that false ego and all those material desires, they evaporate little by little. It does go away. And what happens is the milk thickens. It gets thicker and thicker, and you can watch it, and we can see it. Oh, well, I'm not so fond of this anymore. Well, actually, I don't really want to do that anymore, thanks, but, you know, you see that these desires are going down. You actually see that it's working. And so this is a process where you wave it, and you see the vape, and the more you wave it, the more it goes up. So the more you do service and really get involved in devotional service, it takes less time. But it is going to take probably this lifetime or whatever to get to that stage of self-realization. But there are some secrets if you want to make it a little quicker, if you want to make the process just a little quicker. One dangerous process, risky process, is that you turn up the heat. And then you have to really, really stir. Because if it sticks one time, the whole thing is going to stick and then stick and stick, and you realize that, oh my gosh, then you have to transfer it and everything. So this is sometimes you get a little too eager, and you think, oh, more austerity, more this, more that. But Nectar of Instruction warns you, make sure that you know why you're doing these things and who you're doing it for. If you're just doing it, but you don't understand the meaning, then best not to overdo it in that way. So that's one way, but it's very intense and it's not for everybody. So there is another way to make it thick and quicker, and that's to put more sugar. Many times I do this. I get a little anxious and it's taking many, many hours, so I just put a little more sugar and then it gets thick quicker. And so this is likening to getting more association with pure devotees. Like Vyasadev here is relishing hearing Narada Muni, getting more and more association. I remember when Yamaraj was on his deathbed over here and he invited devotees to come over, I think it was the day before he left. He just wanted to hear and be with devotees. He wanted to hear how you came to the movement and so many things like that. He was relishing it, just the association of devotees. Absorbs your mind, makes things go, makes it thicker and more relishable. So this is advised if you want to do things a little faster. And so then when you get to a stage, and in America, it's when you're making like a candy or something, you get to what's called the softball stage or the hardball stage. In India, they call it ektal dotal thread stage. And if you got tough fingers like I do from work, and you could take a little bit of the hot stuff right off the spoon and you go like this. You move your fingers up and down on that ball of stuff and you go like this and see if it makes a thread. And if it makes one thread, that's the softball stage. And so that's like when we start getting a higher taste. And if you make a preparation, it kind of holds it together into a nice consistency. And then we know that, yes, I'm not going anywhere else. This is it. And so this is, you're happy to be in Krishna consciousness. You're satisfied. And that attraction is growing and making you tighter with Krishna. But if you cook it a little longer, then you go, like when I have to make laglu, you have to get to the tutal stage. When you go like this with the hot stuff, you get two threads that stay. They just stay there. You go like that, and they just stay there. If you get two like that, then you know that when you mix it, everything, it's going to really hold it tight. And so this is a sweet maker's tricks. And this is likening to when we really decide that, okay, no more chance of me taking part in this material world anymore. I just want to concentrate on Krishna consciousness. And this is an advanced stage, which we're all hoping we come to someday. But with the association of devotees who are advanced, it'll make it much quicker. So we should try to relish that if we need to go on these Zoom things and get our association that way. And since Narada Muni, we can't be so much in touch with him. I wish he'd get on the Zoom thing. Wouldn't that be neat if all of a sudden, oh, guess what? Narada Muni is going to be on Zoom today. Boy. Everyone stop in their tracks, right? Listen. But we're hearing. We're hearing from Narada Muni. We just heard from him so many things. So we should reread it if we're not feeling that surge to also have the interview of Sri Krishna. And so we continue our study of this Bhagavatam and try to process our devotion and get thicker and thicker and more tight to Krishna. Once Prabhupada was asked, how do you know a pure devotee? And Prabhupada said, one who is addicted to Krishna. So this is likening to that really thick stage when we're just addicted. We can't do anything or hear anything besides Krishna. So this is our goal, which Narada Muni is trying to help Vyasadeva and ourselves with. So we should take it. He's off to another preaching engagement. So we should always be beg, borrow, steal, but try to get some preaching engagements, even though it might be a little difficult these days, but it is possible. Or we can preach to each other, which also is wonderful. So maybe someone would like to have a comment or a question.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Can you hear me?
No, I don't think it's on. Take the mask off.
Somewhere in the beginning of the report, Prabhupada used a phrase I believe that Krishna granted Narada Muni the urge to see him. Is that right?
I don't have it in front of me right now.
It just felt significant because it's so easy to think we're the origin of these inspirations or urges and how dependent on all these little tastes and attractions that we've developed for Krishna's reciprocation and his gift to us. Hare Krishna. It's been a while.
Yeah, they're little drops of mercy we get.
And then we can't just ride or skate on that, you know, because he can make it diminish or disappear for the time being.
Yeah, actually, that's what happened with Dhruva Maharaj. He got touched with the conch shell, right? And then he was able to speak. And here at Narada Muni, he got to see Krishna, and that provoked him. So we just had to beg, you know, please, you know, let me endeavor so that I please Krishna. And when Krishna's a little bit pleased, he gives those little spurts that we relish. So we should take advantage of those. This is a...
From
Shesha. But isn't Smaranam not enough as it is one of the nine processes? So remembering... Isn't it enough? That's the result. Okay. Yes, Library Party was one of Srila Prabhupada's favorite book distribution program. Full sets of these books were placed in colleges all over North America, Europe, India, and Far East. It would be a great project to check the status of those books, how they have been read or used in other ways. One year, the BBT won the Best Booth Award at the American Library Association at the annual convention. Kalakanta and myself had organized that. Srila Prabhupada was very pleased with this news. Nice. Yeah, it would be nice to see how many people read those books and if they actually got all the books. But yeah, Prabhupada really, really liked this service. And I think they got a lot of brownie points because you can see how advanced these devotees are. It doesn't seem that, this is from somebody else, Bhaja Govinda. It doesn't seem that Narada Muni did anything super spectacular as a young boy, yet he became the spiritual master of Vyasadeva. How is this so? Well, he surrendered to these sages. He stopped what he was doing, even at a young age, and fully surrendered. He fully surrendered his hearing, and his direction in life went totally towards Krishna consciousness. So that's something pretty super duper. I mean, how many, where were us? Well, I, when I was 5 or 6 years old, you wouldn't have stopped me from doing what I was doing, no matter what. You know, I was having fun, so-called fun. So it is pretty spectacular what he did, that he was a young boy and could do this. I mean, how much have we done? You know, I mean, how if we fully surrendered and reached that where we're pleasing Krishna, perfectly where he's going to come and show us his face. So it was pretty spectacular. And it's nice to see that over here at the other school, Prabhupada said that the third generation would be the pure devotees. And we do, we see there some pretty spectacular kids over there. Pretty impressed by their intelligence and their diligence and their studies and their devotion coming here and doing service. So, yeah, no small thing to get out of this material world and to just want to be in the spiritual world. That desire is so strong, so deep within us.
This is from Mother Bhishmapriya. Cooking the milk, nice analogy. Thank you for the nice class. And the next one is, this is from Radha Ballavadas. Question, how can we measure in our lives the detachment from worldliness? How can we notice the change?
Prabhupada always said, through sex life, how much you're attached to sex life. So if you're still being disturbed, if you still have some attraction, and it's filtering in your Krishna conscious life or in your mind, then that's the barometer, right? Prabhupada said. When you no longer have any sex desire, then you know you've jumped over a big hurdle. That's what he said. Sangha Thakur has something to say.
There's a comment, it says, Narad Muni is out in the eco-village.
He's everywhere. I wish he'd come out. Wish I could see him.
I have a brother who is an evangelical Christian, and we have a lot of nice talks about God, but I always feel dissatisfied because I don't use Krishna's name, Krishna. So I was wondering what's your experience with that when you try to bridge, you know, the gap between other faiths or family.
Well, sometimes it's a little delicate. You have to be a little sensitive when you're speaking to certain people. So although your heart is wanting to say Krishna and tell them all about Krishna and everything, sometimes you have to be sensitive because you might blow it with him, or you might lose it. I know that I like my sister, she's so-called Buddhist and everything. I have to be very careful that I see her progressing and agreeing, and she's not being offensive. You don't want them to be offensive, because then it destroys that where you've gotten to. So you just have to be sensitive, and gradually maybe you'll find a breakthrough, you know. But I do remember sometimes when I think Prabhupada was asked by a reporter, well, can you see Krishna in your heart? What's he doing? And Prabhupada closed his eyes, and all the devotees were like, whoa, what's he going to say? And he just closed his eyes. He asked if he's sitting or laying down, and Prabhupada made some comment. So it was like, you know, sometimes Prabhupada surprises by being so blunt and saying something so personal about Krishna that would blow someone away, but he did it. So it depends, I guess, the circumstance and who you are. So you just have to make that judgment. And you just never know. I remember one time I was in the parking lot over here in Gainesville, and you get surprises all the time, you know. I was showing, one person came in, and I thought, well, you know, I'll give him some books or something. So I gave him, he was a little interested, so I gave him a few little small books, and he says, what about that book? And it was a Krishna book. I had a Krishna book with me. He goes, I want to know about Krishna. And I was like, whoa, okay. Yeah, take it. It was just, you just never know, you know? So Krishna just sends you all these exciting challenges on Sankirtan, which is really our life and soul.
You know, I was contemplating last night, like almost every day or every alternative day, I'm giving Zoom class. Last night we had 54 devotees in New Orleans and that area, New Taliban. I was thinking, like, why not before? How come this situation created? And they are really paying attention, because I asked everybody to reflect and say something what they heard, because I gave 2 hours classes. And it was such an inspiring that maybe there is a reason why Krishna created.
Yeah.
I'm not going to glorify, but it looks like. Because I never saw the devotees are so much eager to hear. One Mataji, I forgot her name, she said, she's a nurse. She said, Prabhu, now people actually developing more faith than ever before. Because I'm a nurse, I see it every day in the hospital.
Yeah, I've had a lot of realizations too, why Krishna does these things different ways. So that's what's so nice about devotees. They can see Krishna's hand in everything. Might take a little bit of time, but that's why we don't get upset about it, because Krishna has a reason for every single thing. And we're on his side, so we just can roll with the punch and take advantage of it. Krishna's behind this movement, 100%.
Yes.
So it's going to go places. Whether we do it or not, he sometimes has to help a little bit, so he has to kick in somewhere on the side. So this is a little kick in. Now we know about how to preach all over the world with a little quick. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.